Welcome, everybody, to episode 34 to the Rink Podcast. Puffy, how are you? Episode 34.
Not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm great. Any good players, number 34?
Yeah, there's one.
Who?
Plays for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Oh, Austin Matthews.
How about another one? You got another one? Was there another 34 before that one?
There's some kids coming. Like, you watch the World Juniors now, and the American team always has like a 34 on it. I think there's going to be a lot more 34s to come.
Yeah.
But it's always funny, like, how these superstar players, like, it's almost like they know when they're younger, like, I'm going to be something, so I'm going to pick a cool number. Like, I love how Bedard is 98. And he slots right in between Wayne and Connor.
Yeah.
And it's like he's just like, yep. Yeah, and it's not like there's a lot of 98s out there, you know? And it's just right away, he owns that number. It's a pretty cool thing. 34 is definitely awesome.
So 34. There you go. Episode 34. Today's episode, one of our interview series, as we've been doing. Another one.
I love it. An interview series. It sounds
like we got the interview series. Sounds like it's like we've thought about it, actually, is what it sounds like.
It's great.
So today we got Joey, Hockey Stick Man. Do you know Hockey Stick Man?
I did not know about him at all until maybe, I'm going to say 2 years ago. And then parents on our team started talking about it, about these cheap sticks. Because we've been buying expensive sticks for the kids since, like, before they should have had expensive sticks. And there were people saying, like, oh, no, these are the cheap ones. And so it's definitely become a big thing. And then we were at the Wellington Dukes game about 2 weeks ago, and I noticed on the board it was Hockey Stick Man. And I'm like,
oh, he sponsors the Dukes.
Yeah, well, he's got one of the arena boards there.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, Hockey Stick Man. That's pretty cool. Huh.
That's cool. Yeah, same thing. Everywhere. I didn't know anything about him. And then a player on our team 2 years ago, dad said, oh, I'm going out to Mississauga to get these hockey sticks from Hockey Stick Man. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's told me and showed me. And ever since then we've gotten, we started getting his sticks there. So Ozzy had gotten one for Christmas. So we actually just picked up our first one at the beginning of this season from there. It was great. I walked in the store. There's so much inventory. It's crazy how much stuff he has in there.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. I haven't been out to the store, actually, so I can't wait to go out there. Boys are going to need some new lumber coming up.
So. Yeah. And well, so with that, yeah, it was great to have Joey join us. So with that, why don't we jump over? He talks all about the business. He talks about sticks. You guys get a little technical on it for a bit where I got lost a bit. But let's go to that interview. It was a great time with Joey, Hockey Stick Man. Welcome, everybody. Introducing our special guest, a stick-slinging maestro behind Hockey Stick Man. It's Joey. From frozen fields of a small-town upbringing to big leagues of online hockey retail, Joey's journey is gripping as a last-minute power play. Former rep junior player turned sports management guru, Joey has been skating through the hockey world with finesse, leaving a trail of refurbished sticks and pro-stock gems in his wake. So grab your helmets, sharpen those skates, because we're about to dive into the world of hockey sticks with the one and only Joey from Hockey Stick Man, who I think everyone definitely listening to us knows who you are. So welcome, Joey. Thanks for joining us on To the Rink.
Wow, that's quite the introduction. I appreciate that. Thank you.
We put a little effort into them. Honestly, Puffy did one a little while ago, like 2 or 3 months ago, and ever since then I've been really working my game to beat the one.
You're doing great, G-Cat.
So Joey, thanks for joining us. So really, I think right out of the gate, you know, people in the GTHL and people in our neighborhood and our team definitely buy a lot of sticks from you and have been to your place. So it's great to have you on here. But I think starting off, it'd be great to just know your journey from skating on a farm rink to now finding Hockey Stick Man, you know, being an adventure. If you could maybe just take us on that and tell us how you did that.
I'm certainly happy to do so. Grew up in a hockey family, as many of your listeners can relate to. We had four kids in our family, grew up playing on the rink together. That's kind of where we honed our skills. Some of my family a little bit better than others, myself not included in that. Yeah, I took sport management. I took the leap of faith to go into a sport management career. you know, when I got out of school, I wanted to get into amateur development. I really enjoyed that. So I ended up getting on in British Columbia, living on Vancouver Island, and I was running the development programs for BC Hockey out there, which was a lot of fun. Did it for 5 years. I got to work with Team Canada and work with the Hockey Canada Development Committee, long-term athlete development, a lot of that fun stuff. Once we got through that, my brothers were playing Division One down at Dartmouth, and I realized it was time to come home after the after I worked the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver. They had a lot of broken hockey sticks down at Dartmouth and some broken ones over at Princeton and Harvard and St. Lawrence and Clarkson and all the other places that they played every weekend. So those guys were none too happy to take a few bucks off my hands for their broken hockey sticks that they were, at the time, they were all throwing out. Fell into it with my dad and uncle fixing the sticks and slinging them out of the basement at home as a part-time gig. And after about 6 years of doing it part-time, it became evident that it wasn't a part-time gig anymore. I had to do it for real. And one thing led to the next.
And what year would that have been? So what year did you make it full-time?
2016 is when I went full-time, yeah. So 2010 yeah. is when I started, and 2016 I went full-time. So,
and online, online presence as well as the store I know on Evans, and then another store, I believe it's in Belleville. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Everybody knows of it now, but in 2014 I never heard of Shopify. And my buddy, who is another SPEMA, we call it SPEMA, sport management guy, he'd worked for the Raptors for a number of years, and he went over and he was one of the first employees to work for Shopify. So he thought that I should, sling broken hockey sticks on there, and I thought he was crazy. And turns out he wasn't. He was right on the mark. I think he's sailing on some beach somewhere in the Bahamas or something like that. No, he had some options.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure early days awesome. Of a company like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Joey, sourcing and repairing top end sticks for players must involve some intriguing process. Could you give us a glimpse into the behind the scenes magic that goes into making these sticks game ready for amateur players?
Yeah, it's not rocket science, to be honest with you. It's just, using the same material to do an internal repair, if you will. And what you really need to do is you just need to focus on it, on doing it properly. So what we do is we cut the break out of it. We bevel inside. We put a carbon fiber sleeve in it, and then we pour an epoxy down into the shaft. And after 72 hours of curing, you're good as gold. Back to new.
Awesome.
So tell us a bit about that process. So maybe just help us understand like what sets apart your sticks from, other sticks or other people doing it. So when you're refurbishing one, you talked a little bit there, but the secret sauce is really just around the process of what you just explained there. Is there any more that you can add to that?
I think my secret sauce, if you will, was getting it from pro teams because – the average life of a stick in the pros, as you can imagine, is like less than a week. Maybe it's a game. So that was the great thing. A refurbished stick, as opposed to just repairing, your stick from that you've used for 75 days in the GTHL, is just in a little bit better condition. It's got a good blade. It's got a lot of pop in it still. So that's really the thing that set us apart was. We really didn't focus on fixing customer sticks as much, although we do still do quite a bit of that, but really going to get the pro stick. And the beauty of that was, it was guys that spent, we started charging $65 back in 2010. So guys were in the business of buying $65 hockey sticks, the best stick that they ever had, so it was inherently a beauty thing for us because these guys never had such a great stick in their life, and it was refurbished.
Right. And now you're getting these sticks from the pro. Just help me maybe for clarity. You're getting the sticks. Like you're fixing customer sticks or people bring in the broken stick, but you're also collecting broken sticks and fixing them and refurbishing and selling those. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And where how do you collect all those sticks? That must be a whole process.
You guys only have half an hour, right, for this podcast?
Maybe give us a glimpse into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe a few stories, your listeners might enjoy.
Yeah.
Especially from the early days. So as I discussed, we had my brothers and my cousin playing in the States. So we would go down in the van, which later turned into a road trek. And we would go down and we would stay in a hotel or something. And then we would go after Dartmouth or Colgate played, with the team, we'd go into the room and clear out the broken hockey sticks from the teams. So guys would be collecting broken hockey sticks all year until Dartmouth came to town. And then we would, get two birds stoned at once, if you will, by watching the game and collecting the broken sticks. After Dartmouth was, the boys were long gone. Then it became like, is it worth driving 14 hours to some of these places to pick up broken hockey sticks? And that's where we got into sleeping in the road track, my dad and I, piling that thing right full of broken hockey sticks. And of course it was my aunt's, road truck. It's a $125,000 vehicle. So you can imagine the laughs that we would get wheeling around in a $125,000 brand new Mercedes road truck and stacking it full of, garbage, other people's garbage from Ivy League schools.
How did you get access then to the pro sticks with the guys who played in college that knew what you were doing and you kept that relationship, or did you have to develop new professional relationships?
It was very easy to give some people money for things that they were throwing out. Like a lot of people give me credit for being connected in the game of hockey and to a point there is, but it really wasn't that. It was really just me making a quick phone call and saying, hey, you collect them, I'll pay you for them. And that's all it really took. And nobody else was doing this. I mean, now there's others that are, but, back then nobody was doing it. So it was gravy.
So would you be watching games like hoping guys were breaking sticks so you have more inventory?
Yes, to a point, I suppose. I mean, it wasn't very long after I was buying broken sticks that we started bringing the new ones anyway. Right. So yes and no. The new ones are pretty nice to get too. No work goes into those.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah.
So jumping that then, one of the things that you guys do is keep prices low. You're very competitive on a price, on the pricing of the stick, I know. And how do you really pull that off, knowing like hockey equipment has the perception of always being very expensive and a high, high cost sport, but you guys really do try to keep prices to, generally, which are lower than, else out there. How do you do that? How do you keep that prices so low?
Well, that is the business, and I learned early on that if I thought about what the customer needs in the game of hockey, and I go at it from that angle, then I don't lose. The blackout sticks, pro stock sticks, closeout sticks. If I'm able to offer a good quality product at a good price, people will buy it, and so that's. That's how we built our business, and that's how we function on a daily basis, and we don't lose sight of that. There's really nothing much to it. I mean, I with the pro stocks, I've always tried to find the right price. So, I don't say that it's necessarily the lowest price, but it's the right price because if you're an OHL team, I want to make sure that you're getting the value out of the product that.
Right.
That you deserve as the team. and then I want to turn around and give a deal to the customer. So I try and be the intermediary there and you know, take a profit away from it, obviously. But yeah, that's what I've always shot for. Then the blackout concept has been just incredible for us. Just manufactured direct, like so many other things in our consumer environment nowadays. If you're able to provide a product consumer direct, especially in our game that's driven by a lot of marketing and advertising and sponsorship dollars, then you can do pretty well with it. And again, you know, it's, we make a profit, that, and we always think that you know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, and be happy with where you're at.
Yeah,
sling lots of them, and you'll make lots of money. And but yeah, profitability and good quality deals have always gone hand in hand with Hockey Stick Man. So I really believe in that, and I think that, you know, I've always encouraging the staff to. I never worry about a guy getting a deal. You know, if we knock, we just brought in our own tape. So Hockey Stick Man tape. And I was going to stage it different prices and stuff. And then if you get to this amount, you buy 30 rolls, it's going to be $3.33 a roll or something. And then I just said, the heck with it. You know, like, why don't we just do 1 for $5 or 3 for $10? That means right. everybody walks out with a 3-pack. It's a good deal. They're using my tape, you know.
And
that's, you know, that's worked out well. Everybody comes in, buys a 3-pack.
Yeah.
So Joey, I have 2 boys that play, and they like expensive sticks. So they like their Hyperlites. What's the difference between your blackout sticks and these, like the Hyperlites? Like, is it a huge difference? Is it? Because I know the price is a big difference. Like, is the quality of the stick a big difference?
$250.
Yeah, yeah, it's like significant. But like, is it the quality pretty close?
The quality is there. The quality is absolutely there. The material we use is top notch. It's Japanese Toray. 18K carbon fiber sleeve that really is the winner. That's that square shape that you see in a hockey stick that originated, you know, with the Nexus 1000, and it's kind of like grown jet speed. You see it in almost every stick on the market these days. It's really quality material. So it's absolutely quality. It's right there with it. It's a true one piece, well balanced, all, you know, all the things that you look for. And anybody, the good thing about us is that anybody who is really a good big hockey guy, they pick up the stick, they feel it, they use it, they know. So we have a lot of really, you know, guys with a lot of pedigree using our stuff because it's just the cheapest. The one thing I will say is that, I have not gone beyond the 400 gram plateau yet, whereas the Hyperlite and the Hyperlite 2 have. And the rationale that I find with that is that right now at 400 to 420 grams, we have a really nice performance to breakage ratio. So when you're buying sticks, you know, a 330 gram stick is phenomenal, but if it breaks, it's no good to you. And it's $430 and it's breaking, then it's no good to anybody. So I've been very, very careful of going sub 400 on the weight of our senior stick, because I find that our extra lights that is sitting at that perfect balance today. And you know, so the Hyperlite has gone below that, and it really is an incredibly performing stick, but you are into some breakage issues.
Yeah, breaks, you know, all the so time. Far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so we're going to experiment. I think it's getting better. You know, all of these sticks are getting better, but, you know, I really still hesitate to go there. So to answer your question, quality wise, yes, our sticks are better.
Perfect.
Yeah, but you could go
into your store and say, this is what I use, a Hyperlite. What's the closest you have, or what would you like? That would be sort of how you would find something similar.
Well, the thing that I always like to tell people is that the thing about a Hyperlite too is that they're incredible sticks, but they don't just break; they also break down, right? And that's what we see. That's why we sell a lot of used sticks that are quote unquote whipped out from the pro player and stuff. So, you know, there is some truth to that, and that's the one thing that I like parents to know about is you buy a $400 hockey stick, it's not something that should be used in practice. You know, my line is Barry Bonds didn't hit dingers out in the San Francisco Bay with his game bat, and you know, neither should your $450 stick that your kid's using. So what I would suggest, of course, your old stick is fine or something like that, but what I like is a blackout stick, and you go out there and you take the one timers and you take the snapshots and you're hard on your stick and you do face off drills and, you know, you do all of the fundamentals in the game of hockey. And then you have your Hyperlite 2 tucked away for your game. And it's in, you know, pristine condition when you pull it out of the, for the game.
Looking on your website, we know you have a partnership with, Team LTD. And just wanted to maybe hear a little bit about what that program is and how you guys give back. And I think that is in partnership with LTD, if I read that correctly.
Yeah, thanks for that question. It's kind of my newest thing. It's what I'm passionate about is that I'm able to source hockey sticks. It's what we do. We're getting them from China, so I'm able to get them fairly cheap. So I've started donating them to some programs. But I thought it'd be cool if I started to build my brand, you know, like been the first 10 years, I really didn't focus much on building my brand. And it's, you know, as we've grown, I've really been humbled and think it's cool to see people talking about us or align with us and stuff like that. So I went to Team LTD, Jamie Visser, who I played hockey against for years. And I said, what do you think about like building these hoodies you made for me? Cause I love them and all of our staff love them. What if we sold them and we gave like $5 from every one towards these sticks that I want to donate anyway. So kind of a win-win. Whereas I get guys wearing my gear. I get to donate sticks. Team LTD is full of awesome guys, so we could hang out with them, and then hopefully down the line we can leverage it into a bigger thing where more people want to get involved and we can donate a lot of sticks.
Cool. So when you just started that program just recently, is that what you said?
Yeah, it's just we haven't even had we just started it, so it's hoodies, hats. We're just thinking about bringing in some cool t-shirts and stuff like that for the summer, some crazy golf shirts and stuff like that. But so it's cheap too. Like it's good. It's really high quality stuff because we want people wearing it. I want people wearing it. That's the key, right? So I go get really good stuff. I price it, you know, about $20, $30, $40 less than what most people do, and they give $5 away to charity. You're wearing it around the rink, everybody wins.
Cool. Yeah, actually, this shirt underneath here is an LTD shirt, actually.
No, is it? Yeah. They make cool stuff, you know, and that was the thing. It's like I want it to be like a fun collaboration, and I mean, have you been to their place on the Queen's?
I have, yeah. I know. I actually, oddly enough, know Jamie as well, just through different ways, through some Muskoka connections.
Yeah, well, they've done a pretty good job of being out and about in the community as well, right? So
yeah, they've done a great job.
That's awesome. So, Joey, as a family-owned and operated business, growing while staying true to your values must present its own set of challenges. How do you navigate these challenges while keeping the essence of Hockey Stick Man intact?
I don't really have much of a problem with it, to be honest with you. Like I said, we try and ride the horse that got us there as best we can. And like I said before, it's coming down to giving a – hockey family is a good deal on stuff, and you know, that's what we keep doing. We don't deviate from that. One thing that's a pain in the ass is managing a bunch of staff. You know, they're not that they're bad people or anything, but it's a lot of work. It's,
yeah,
you know, you end up spending energy on stuff that you prefer not to be spending energy on. And we're working at trying to get to a point where I can shelter myself from that, where I have managers that can deal with a lot of the HR stuff, and I can, you know, worry about hanging out with Jamie Visser and slinging sticks and gear up in Muskoka.
Perfect. So looking ahead, I guess for, you know, the last decade has been a pretty remarkable journey for you, it sounds like, and you've gotten to a place now and you've done it sort of grassroots. You've built the business, really a word of mouth culture is what I think you even say on your website. And that's how I found about you, is just another parent telling me, oh, I got a stick. I went to this place, Hockey Man Stick, and I went there. So you've really built this great foundation of your business, and you're like really established, I would say, specifically in the world I live in, youth hockey. What does the next little bit look like? What's the future of Hockey Stick Man? What are the expansion plans? What are the, you know, online plans? Do you have a vision for the next little bit you can share with everybody?
Yeah. And I'm going to share that my phone is getting low here, so hopefully I don't lose you. We want to start to build the brand a little bit, have some fun with some stuff that we've done. So like the LTD stuff, the donating of sticks, some of the partnerships are great. But what really I think is amazing is working with some of these other brands on closeouts, because if I can get last year's models and stuff and give them and sell them at wholesale, like that's been just incredibly, it's worked really, really well for everybody involved, I think. And that's really moving really well. And so kind of like the home sense or winners, right, if you will, hockey. If I could do that, I think a lot of people can relate to that business model. If I could do that, then I'd be happy, and I could, you know, work with a lot of these great brands that produce great product, but to be able to give it to the customer at a reduced price because it's last year's model. And there's a lot of people out there that don't care about that.
Well, if I could throw one in the suggestion box, I would also say open up a store on the Danforth or East End where both Puffy and I live would be also helpful for us.
It'd be frequent.
What I'd like to do is we're looking at a new service. We have to walk before we run, because I guess that's one thing, is that we want to be able to maintain that level of service and that level of options and stuff. So I'm worried about that. So we don't want to grow too fast. But one thing I think is really cool is we've been in talks to try to be able to deliver sticks same day. So if you order a stick on the Danforth, it'd be like $15 to have it delivered to your house from our that's in the works, but we gotta iron out a few things before that can come to fruition.
Cool.
We always end our podcast asking our guests about their pump up song. What gets you fired up on those long drives to Dartmouth, that back in the day? What were you listening to?
Well, it's going to come as no surprise, and it's a little bit of a boring answer, but Thunderstruck by AC/DC was our song. And Tweed, when I played minor hockey there, and we filled the barn on Friday nights full of people. We came out to Thunderstruck, and there's just nice. Nothing beats it, man. Nothing beats it. Although awesome. I am representing tonight, being a minor hockey team, the Caledon Hawks, and our song to go out is Sandman. So we send out our 5 and 6 year olds to Sandman. Yeah,
interesting.
That's awesome.
That's good. Well, I'm from the Ted Reef Thunder, so Thunderstruck is our song too. So that's a good choice. Good choice.
It's still good. The best. Yeah.
Well, Joey, appreciate it. I know you have, I think, you're off to your own hockey game right now, if I'm not mistaken. And we really appreciate you coming on the pod, and your phone's dying. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And I hope all of our listeners, if you haven't heard of Hockey Stick Man, check it out. Go on their website. Lots of great selection. It's really been great hearing your whole story and how you got here, and all the best of luck in the future and with your collaborations. And say hi to Jamie for me too.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Thanks, Joey. Take care.
Have a great game. Bye-bye. Cheers. I feel fully informed now. I have to admit, I've never been a big equipment guy.
Right.
From the time I was a kid, I was never the one, like, but kids today, my boys especially, like, they love all the fancy gear and this and all the technical stuff on it. Yeah. And you know, like, it's really a great, like, I know he's making a business out of it, he's making a living at it, but it's such a necessary thing. Hockey's gotten so expensive, and sticks in particular are just crazy. And so having options for parents and kids and adult players to get really quality equipment, and then even options. I know one of the assistant coaches on Barrett's team, he plays a ton of hockey. He goes there, gets the pro stock sticks, and he's like, this is the best sticks I've ever had. And so it's a pretty cool thing. He's a business. Yeah. He created sort of out of nothing. Just a good idea.
And you know what's surprising is you didn't ask him about the Wellington Dukes board. You know, I was waiting for you to ask about the Wellington Dukes board, but you didn't.
Yeah, I was going to, and then I
teed it up with a store in Belleville. Kind of teed it up for you.
You did, and I slipped my mind.
It's okay. Yeah, it was really interesting. I mean, I think I love hearing people's business, and you know, on this podcast, we really try to pick people that have our guests, you know, that have an affiliation with the GTHL or youth hockey. And so, you know, whether it's official or unofficial, you know, definitely I know many kids that buy stuff off Hockey Stick Man. And so I love hearing the business stuff. If I'm honest with you, I love hearing how, you know, I had this idea, we've broken sticks, we refurbished them, and you know, boom, 10, you know, well, longer than I could start in 2010. So like, here we are.
Yes.
You know, 14 years later. And, you know, he's made it to the To The Rink podcast for an interview. So, you know, who would have thought? Humble beginnings.
You don't get bigger than that.
Yeah, you don't get bigger than that. And, you know, and you got to give him credit for some classic songs, Enter Sandman and Thunderstruck, you know, songs that have come up for sure on the park.
And I love they're cranking Enter Sandman with 5- and 6-year-old kids. They're getting them. They're teaching them what's real cool music is.
That is it. So we have with that, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks, Joey, for joining us on the pod, for giving us your time and a little bit of insights of what you've done there. Stoff, thanks so much for all your support on the pod. And everyone else, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for leaving reviews, leaving us comments, sending us notes. Follow us on Spotify, Apple, Instagram, YouTube. We appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you later this week, where we'll be talking all about the playoffs. So we'll look forward to that. And have a great week. And everyone, best of luck in your games.